this evening, we're going to look at, but I don't measure up. Probably a feeling that you've had one time or another for various circumstances. You remember perhaps the last time you got a vehicle and you looked over the dozens of cars that are out there, and as you look at them, you have in mind exactly what you want. The right color. You've got the right engine that's in there. You've got the sound system that will deafen any teen within 100 miles. You've got the place to put your 1 gallon cup of coffee. You've got it completely in mind what you want to find. And so you go and you scrutinize every single vehicle. And the guy that's showing you each vehicle is going insane because it's not just right. And as you look and see, all of a sudden, there it is. And then you hear the chorus, the hallelujah chorus, as you have discovered the exact car that you want. You have taken and none of the rest have measured up to it. But this is the one. You would not have purchased anything less. Anything because this is the one that's going to get you to the gas station. It's the one that's going to get you across country. And it is the one with 15 cup holders. You have found that perfect car. All the others were abandoned because this is the one that measured up to your standard. Well, when we are looking at vehicles, we're looking at their strengths and at their weaknesses. We're looking at their price, their gas mileage, and we're trying to come to a great buy. And when we make that conclusion and we sign the dotted line, we get home to find out we haven't kept up with the Joneses. They're still better than yours. We compare ourselves with other people. It's a natural thing. For example, somebody who walks in here tonight will compare themselves to you. How old are you compared to they? How are you dressed compared to them? What size of Bible do you have compared to what they have? They're going to come in, see where you're sitting, and compare themselves where they think they should sit. Being a visitor in a church, where do you sit? Closest to the escape hatch, right? You want to be sure that you can escape right after the service because someone might say hi. We do that. We compare ourselves with other people. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it certainly can be because there's dangers associated with it. We find here in our text, it says to 1 Timothy chapter 4, of course, Paul is writing here. Imagine if Paul the Apostle wrote you a letter. Just think about that. If you opened your mailbox in the morning and it was from the Apostle Paul. Now, I don't know what kind of postage it is from heaven down here to earth, but if he wrote you a personal letter, it said, Dear Michael, it said, Dear Dawn, it said, Dear Ron, and it had in there the encouragement from the Lord. One, you would think to yourself, wow, here is the Apostle Paul. He's just writing to me. Here, he's written to Timothy. Right? But is scripture only for he? No. This letter is for you as well. He says in chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise your youth. Let no one look down on you because you are young. That's the phrase that I want us to pay attention to tonight. We'll look at the rest of it briefly, but Paul says don't look, let somebody look down on you. Sometimes we look down on ourselves, don't we? Or we look down on other people. See, that's one of the dangers when we start comparison shopping. We start doing some comparison shopping with others and compare ourselves with other abilities. What do? We look and compare our neighbors. Well, the one neighbor on the left is different than the one on the right. And you might like one better than the other. You might like the one's dog, quiet dog, better than the other's noisy dog. whatever it might be. You're comparing them, and you'll even compare yourself to them. Our neighbor, they just painted their house. It looks very nice. And we compare ourselves with them. Ours obviously looks better because it's our house. Not really. But you can compare yourself to them. Theirs looks very nice. You want to make sure that as you're doing that, you don't do so and develop a sense of pride. Of personal pride. The danger of comparing yourself with others is pride. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Timothy, you can imagine being a young pastor could be very easily intimidated. He is not the one who started the church, and yet he is the one that is the pastor of the church of Ephesus, one which Paul himself worked at for more than 3 years. What a privilege that Paul thought so much of Timothy to put him in that place. And so Timothy could have the mentality that I am so much better than all of you. Look, Paul's the one that didn't choose any of you but me to be the pastor here. Do you see how that can happen? Obviously, that was not happening. Timothy is told, you know what? What you're struggling with, don't let people look down on you because you're young. Young people are often looked down on. No, they don't have as much experience. No, they don't always come to proper conclusions. But does that mean we look down on them? Oh, they're just a kid. What do they know? I'm at that age where I look at some of the people, the young folks out at the stores or in the neighborhood, and I think to myself, well, they just don't get it, do they? We sometimes can look down on somebody that way. But we have to be careful. When we're comparing ourselves with somebody else's ability, we can look at ourselves and see how much better we are because we can do something more than they can. On the other side, though, and I see perhaps Timothy struggling with this, is the danger of comparing yourself to others is shame. Have you ever compared yourself with somebody else and been embarrassed? We've been doing Vacation Bible School poster painting downstairs. If you have taken any time to go down there and look, any sort of intimidation that you may have had, saying to yourself, well, I can't paint, or at least I can't do it like somebody else, and you take their skills and compare yourself to it, you say, there's no way I'm going to be involved with that. But I think if you were to go downstairs and look at some of the artwork down there, you'd say, maybe it's not as hard as I think it is. When we got Vacation Bible School coming up, and if you have any sort of ability whatsoever, which you do, there's usually always room for more help. We've got people that are lined up to do the actual teaching and head up the crafts and the kitchen, but what about if you came alongside and helped? Sometimes it's nice to have a gopher around. Somebody's missing something or somebody needs extra of something. And you could be the person that says, I'll do that. I'll help. But what we do is we say in our minds, there's no way I could be a Sunday school teacher. There's no way I could share the gospel with somebody like other people. There's no way. I don't have the skills, the mentality. Now, there's true, we do have restricted abilities that God has given to us, but if you're going to compare yourself and your abilities with basketball, with Michael Jordan, you don't have a shot, and so you won't try. If you are comparing yourself with Billy Graham, you don't have a shot, and you won't try. What happens is we start comparing ourselves, and we feel inadequate, unable, and insecure. And because of that, we let that rule our attitude and reflect in our lives, so I'm not going to do it. We need to be very careful with that. Paul says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't look at perhaps the spiritual giants that are there, or those people that are better at being organized, those people that are better artistically, those people that are better financially, and say, I don't compare with that. And if they say something to me, say to myself, they're right, I'm no good. Because that's not Paul's solution. We find instead something quite different. You know, we do this with abilities. The ability somebody has. We compare ourselves with what someone else can do, and so we take that and assume we can't do anything with it. We let it run our lives and ruin our lives. However, as we are like Timothy, and we consider who we are compared to other people, here, the people looking down on him, and he perhaps feeling intimidated that way. It can be so spiritually. Spiritually speaking, where are you? And when it comes to spiritual things, this is what we do. We say, wow, I don't know the Bible like somebody else does. And so we don't try to learn the Bible. We get intimidated by how big it is. We get intimidated by how much information is in it. We, if you're doing the Bible reading, if you're not, there's no reason you can't start. If you're doing the Bible reading as in the bulletin or some other way, you can see that little by little you're gaining an understanding of God and gaining an understanding of God's Word. As I'm going through once again in Samuel and the Kings, about David and Solomon and the kings that were after them, being reminded of some of those stories and trying to put my mind, wrap my mind around who is Abner and Joab. We did it in Sunday school and it was very helpful, but when you go through it again, you train yourself, learn God's word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You might have considered when Tom Meyer was here, he was able to quote the entire book of Revelation. And I wonder how many of you said to yourself, there's no way I could do that because I'm too old. Or my mind doesn't work that well. If you said that, what you actually said is, look how good he is spiritually. I'm no good. I won't even try. We see somebody in their Christian character. The Christian character developed in the way they express God's love for other people. We see the way that they're able to hold their patience and integrity and perseverance. And on one hand, we say, I wish I was like that, but we don't move from where we are to try to get there. Instead, we say, oh, woe is me. That is not the way God designed it to be. We have to be careful that we, spiritually speaking, are not in danger of self-worthiness, looking at who I am, and then looking down on other people. And at the same time, not in the danger of worthlessness. There perhaps were people, it sounds like, in the Church of Ephesus, that were looking at Timothy and Timothy's ministry, and they were looking down on him because of his youth, and maybe an inexperience, maybe feeling he wasn't quite as spiritually apt as he should have been. Maybe not worthy of the pastorate because he didn't have all kinds of experience. Timothy, he didn't know anything, and so they looked down on him. And there's a matter of pride there, just like the Pharisees. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. We always justify what we do, and we always think we're better than we really are in some cases. In the danger of worthlessness, I look at those spiritual giants that are around me, see what kind of spiritual failure that I am, for I can't hardly get up in the morning, or I can't hardly get till lunch, and here I have, I've blown it one way or another. Therefore, why try? When we compare ourselves with other people, when we perhaps, as we read God's Word, and compare ourselves with who He is, the great and glorious Holy God, it is easy for us to think lowly of ourselves. And I don't mean in a humble way, I mean to think that we're worthless. We fail. We don't meet the standard of somebody else. Either the way they live their life or their own expectations. And so we want to quit. You know, the Bible does not tell us, thou shalt not lie, for the sake of making you feel bad when you do. The Bible does not tell you to love your neighbor as yourself, so that as you find yourself struggling that way, you'll feel rotten. Why does God tell us these things? God tells us these things so that way we will change. I can take if somebody says something negatively against me or towards me, I can take that and I can say, boy, I'm just no good. Or I could take it and say, how can I do better? It's your attitude of your mind. Am I going to let it beat me up, or am I going to let it make me better? You are familiar with in John 10, where Jesus is the vine. What does He do to the vine? God prunes it. God makes things difficult in your life. Why? So that you will grow in Him. Think of it this way. The Israelites, the Jews went from Egypt, and they were going to the land of Canaan. Now, God could have had all their enemies just drop dead. But instead, while they're still on the east side of the river, God makes clear He brought them to the occasion of war to teach them how to fight. Was it fun? No. Was it easy? No. But they learned in the process to become better. We find that Timothy is not to let others look down on him, but that he is to be the example. Get that right. Be the example. We go make cookies, right? And when you make sugar cookies, you get some sort of form. It could be as simple as a glass, or it could be a fancy cookie cutter. And he used that same object to be the form or the standard that you will use to make each one. Why? That way it comes out perfectly. Each one will come out looking the same, as long as you haven't eaten a piece off of it when you put it in. All these headless gingerbread men in your oven or something because you had a little snack on them while you were waiting to put them in. There's a standard that God has. Paul is telling Timothy not to let people look down on him, but become that cookie cutter. Become that example. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, was founded clear back in 1907. If you want to know what the perfect foot is, the perfect measurement of 1 foot, that is where you go. You ever gone to the store and look at the rulers? If you take the rulers, they're set to a standard, but sometimes if you were to take those rulers of different kind and compare them to each other, put them right next to each other, you might find they're off by just a little bit, one way or the other. How do we know that 12 inches is a foot? Because the government has said so. They standardized it. They said this is the golden rule. 1 foot, 12 inches. Paul tells Timothy, you be that example. Now, the word example is used often. John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Remember when Jesus washed their feet? Jesus says, I did this as an example for you. Now, of course, Jesus is our example. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For this you are called, because Christ has suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. But Jesus is not the only example. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says, brethren, join in following my example. Paul says, I am an example. What kind of example are you? Paul tells Timothy, don't let somebody look down on you because you're young. Don't let them have a pride over you. And looking down on you as that man, that young man who maybe can't do as well as they could if they were older. Don't also let what they say discourage you. Instead, be the example. Be the example to the believers in word, the things that you say, in conduct, the things that you do, in love, the way you express God's love to other people, in spirit, in the way that he relies on the Holy Spirit, or the attitudes that he has, in faith, in the way that he trusts God, and in purity, making sure that he's keeping his life pure so that other people can see and know the example to follow. We find that God over and over wants us to be that example for other people. You are going to compare yourself with other people. Timothy is encouraged in these letters. Paul gives him instruction about being a pastor, but as he does, over and over, he's encouraging him to fight the good fight, to keep the faith, to don't be discouraged by what's going on. Here he tells them, you know, if people are looking down on you, don't let them look down on you. Have the kind of character that makes you the example. Does that mean he's going to be perfect? No. What about you? How are you comparing yourself? Are you comparing yourself with other people and saying, I'm doing pretty good because I'm better than somebody else? You know, I must be better than the Sunday morning crowd because I care enough and love God so much that I'm coming to Sunday evening. Not only that, but I come on Wednesday also. So I must be really spiritual, and all of them are a bunch of flunkies. That spiritual pride is an open door for the devil. It's the Pharisees that had such pride. We have to be careful that as we look at others around us and we say, wow, I just don't measure up to them. I mean, these are some really godly people. How can I measure up to the way they can handle Scripture, their Bible knowledge, the way they conduct their life? I can't do that, so I'm not even going to try. Don't let someone look down on you, but be that example. Be the example of continuing to maintain that spiritual maturity, or be the example of that believer who is striving to build on their faith, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be that example. So don't let people look down on you because you're young, but be that example for Christ's sake. We need to make sure that we are not in the habit of beating ourselves up one way or the other. Romans 12:1 tells us we need to renew our mind. Think of ourselves the way God sees us, as those that have been saved, those who are his children. We need to make sure that we are in our own lives, not comparing with ourselves with others so we can look down on them, but perhaps encourage them. For a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Coming alongside somebody and saying, hey, how can I help you grow spiritually? How can I handle your burden? At the same time, if somebody comes to you, Don't think of yourself as, well, see, I'm no good. Think about yourself, well, what can I learn? How can I grow? Don't be afraid. Open yourself up and say, look, I'm weak in this area. And you could pray for me, or you can just send me notes or help me stay accountable and encourage each other. Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And you all are younger than 182, so this verse fits for you. Make sure that you are serving God to the best of your ability. Make sure that you put your heart to be an example, a good example, rather than a poor one. Father, I ask that you would help us here, that we may evaluate our lives to see that when we don't measure up to other people, even when we don't measure up to your standards, that it's not a time to get discouraged. Timothy in these letters seems to be discouraged at some points. And so, Father, I ask that you would help us be like Timothy as we've received that word, that we might be encouraged. Help us, Father, that we might have the right sort of mindset, that we will take the challenge of growing in you. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do, for the fact that, no, we don't measure up to you, but it's by your grace that we can have that forgiveness and eternal life. And Father, you've given us gifts that are different from other people. There's always going to be somebody better than we, but at the same time, you've given us gifts to pursue, gifts to use for your glory. I ask that you would help us be the example in using those gifts and not letting others look down on us because we're failing, but that we might be examples for you. In Jesus' name.